This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
A big amen. Okay. This year, the burden that the Lord placed in my heart for marriageable single this year is called Take Roots Downward or Have Roots in Yourself. Give me Matthew 13. We all know this parable. This is the parable of the seed. Of the kind of the seed that fell on the path where there is a lot. So definitely you see that seed is on the path. So it's on the path. But there are things that, this one that fell among rock, stones. Doesn't have too much soil. The challenge of this one that it does not have soil. It doesn't have enough soil. So he said, but he that received the seed unto stolen places, the same is he that heareth the word, and along with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. So you're supposed to have roots in yourself. You're supposed to have roots in yourself, not root outside. It should be in himself. There's a place of having roots on the inside. And you cannot have root on the inside if you don't gather out the stones or you don't take out the stone, because the stone will not cause it to have root in himself. The desire of the Lord for every one of us, especially in the season that you are looking forward peradventure to come into a place where a lot of people are agitated about getting married, not getting married. Most of those agitations are just putting stress on yourself instead of you to keep developing root in yourself. I wrote five. This burden came as a result of four questions that came into my heart that we are basing the burden, this burden and this direction. I know as a pastor, we all desire that we should all marry and be married, but I felt that is this thing that is very, very evident in the spirit that we must all take cognizance of. Hardcore questions. Number one, I say, I feel inquire and find out what God wants in particular for you as a person. What about if you don't get married? What will happen? And how will you undo, rehearse, and leave? I know this marriage is single, what we have to marry, and I will tell that I've never seen a eunuch here. Or you're going to watch me online. But these are hardcore questions. One reason why we must have roots in ourselves. Why we must develop roots in ourselves is that what about if you don't get married? What will happen? And how will you undo, rehearse, and leave? Then the third question, are you fulfilled and satisfied by what and who God alone is to you? Then my last question, is God to you a big D, even though it does not meet up to your own soul desire for marriage or any other thing in this side of life? It's on this question. These are pertinent matters that brought forth the burden of this in my heart. That if all these questions will be answered, it will not just be by both faces. If you are going to find tangibility and true meaning in life, it will not just be a thing that you just come through. Or you just rough it. It has to be that you have roots in yourself. Inasmuch as we believe that God wants us to marry, and by God's grace, and as a desire as a father, as a pastor, as a desire as a servant of God that is laboring over people, both in this local assembly and across the body of Christ, I desire. But I also know that God will not likely move some people until God see that some matter are no longer strong goals in their heart. And that where they want to use marriage to occupy, there is a root that have taken root in that place. And from that root, you have root in yourself. And root is a person. You'll find out in that book of Romans chapter 11. Root is a person. To have root in yourself is to have what? A person. You see, verse 13 to 16. For I speak to you, Gentile, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentile, and magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and myself some of them. And if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy also. If the root be holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a white olive tree, we are grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and the fatness of what? Of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches. Who are the branches? The branches there, we are the Jews, the Israelites. But if thy boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root itself. Or a root thee. So you can see that the root, also Isaiah chapter 11, talks about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1, that's Romans chapter 1, Romans 11. But there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. So I'm telling you that the root is not in you. But we must have the person of the root that is rooted inside of us. We must develop root downward. If you don't develop root downward, if you grow upward, you will soon dry up. So if you don't want to dry up, we must have roots downward. The intention of the Lord is that we should have roots downward in ourselves. You will need roots. Even if you marry, you have to have roots on your inside. So it's not because of marriage. Because there are things that move men. When men ask for divorce, because they don't have roots in themselves. So what is paramount in the heart of God? According to the body that God wants us to labor extensively, is that let every man have roots in themselves. He said, take root downward. Then you can what? You can bear fruit upward. But if you don't have root downward, you will not be able to bear fruit. So the burden of Jesus is that we should have root. Say, have root.
Have root.
In yourself. Then he has root in himself. Even when it's dried, at the scent of water, it sprouts up. You know, I usually say in church that I will marry 70 years old people in this church. Because I'm not saying that out of zeal. I know it. That age has nothing with a man that has root in himself. Even when he's 70, see, we still marry. Root is very important. Job 14, 7 to 11. Why? We must labor to have root in ourselves, to take root downward. There is hope. You write yourself easily because you have roots. When a man has root, even when life just starts at 49, when everybody's under pressure, because there's no roots. Bamboo tree. It takes, when every tree is sprung up, it takes, is it 14 years or 15 years, that say, it takes bamboo to take root down. That's why, after you cut it, it will still come back again. Were you able to destroy bamboo? They have to bring specialists to come and treat it and uproot. Because it's not everybody, it's not the way you cut trees, you cut bamboo. In fact, in bamboo, I remember in those, when I was primary school, when you cut bamboo, you put fire on it. But they will, you have to use salt. They're industrial salt. You dig ground to put salt. You dig deep and put salt in sulfur to be able to kill the root. After you have cut it and you dig deep. That is bamboo, because bamboo, the way, if you build anywhere else, bamboo root will come and crack your wall and break it off. What is someone is to have roots in himself? So let's read this Job 14. For there's hope of a tree. No, mom. Satan has beaten us down that we don't look at tree, we are flesh. We are not look at stone. We are a reed shaken by the wind. When you are a reed shaken by the wind, that was who Peter was. Peter was once a reed. Even when the young girl said, you are the one. He said, I swear, I do not know him. That's a reed. No conviction. No conviction. A small girl in the palace. Yeah, I swear, I'm not lying. You are one of that. Because you are a reed. There's no roots. But history made us to know that same man, when they caught him, what they said, do not deserve to die like my Lord. That they should turn his head upside down on the cross when he wanted to kill it to die. That same man that was running away from a small girl. You know, it takes time to build conviction. Some people say, in that church, why do you want me to wait and wait? Oh boy, you go wait. It's good for the soul. When the soul waits, you build it, you kite over. Because it's not only marriage decision you're going to make in your life. You're going to still have to make marriage decision is just one major decision in life. There are many crucial decisions you make. I've seen people that could not wait. When little pressure come on Nigeria, the first thing they did, they cut their back. I run. Because it is, they not start that. It was there since. It was there since. Little pressure. Little photo that they saw some people take picture. You know, there is a way the sun, the picture they took over there, and look at Nigeria, that's where it look like. That thing or that picture alone, lost, has risen up because there's no root. They don't even know where has God. Where has God? They could not stay in God's direction. God's direction, what God wants from them. They will be moved away. Instead of staying with God's placement, where God has placed them. When he's talking about roots, take a root to yourself. How many things? Some people are living where they ought not to be living. Somebody in nation should not be happy. It's because some people move into it. We are see twin brother. That you, if you are a twin, you came back from the same womb. Twin, you can be twin. That does not mean that both of you will marry at the same time. That you marry from the same womb does not mean that because your twin brother is going to Russia, you two must go to Russia. He might go to Russia, but the divine placement of God for you is Nigeria. That thing play out in every facet of life when a soul does not have roots in himself. For they say, oh, there is a hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again. That the tender branch thereof will not cease. You see, even when the branch is tender, it's cut. Tender means it's still weak. The thing is look weak. Though the root thereof wask old in the head. When you have roots, it might be old. That's why no matter what you do, all these Gen Z, these big apostles, that's not small apostles, even the father that are apostles, they don't need to wear apostles, but we know what they regard like they wear. They say, because they say a pastor in their 80-something. And there is guy of 30-something. But you see, because they have roots. The roots might be waxing. They have a root that's waxing. It's not the fresh roots. Because that root, they have roots deep in themselves. Root in faith, root in word, root in meekness, root in lowliness, root in humility, roots in malleability of heart. The guys may look, they are shiny. They are like shooting stars. Ciao! Fireworks. You see, gradually, the thing begin to retract. It's like an elastic that you spread. They will retract back. But you see this buffer for their pastor, they've never... You see it again. They maintain consistent and they keep climbing. Having root. Though the root get up, what's old in the earth? And the stalks. The stalk means the storage. Thereof die in the ground. You might look like you die in the ground. Yet, through the saints of water, it will bore. That's why when you have root in yourself, you will keep body. That's why the answer is half root. The answer is half root. No man that has root in himself that will never bud. You will keep budding. I can give you to a that can rely or not in it. If you take that to have roots, you saw what happened to this our mommy now that married our daddy Kumuyi. You cannot. That mama was part of those who write mirror, women mirror. She was part of people that write and contribute. Because she was there since campus day. She has been part of, both of he and the wife were together. It was like a junior when he was there. For the part of people that they write and also sing together. Because I read about Gaffey from the beginning. But can you see? Even at the scent of water, it will board and bring forth like a plant. It will bring up above like a plant. Give me 10 and 11. But man died. But when you're a man, may we never be mere man. May we never be mere chick. I know me. I like chick. I like Christian chick. I don't have a problem with that. I want you to be an incorruptible chick. But as you are chiquito, make sure you have root in yourself. But man died and wasted away. But look at a man as a tree in the time of drought. In terms of farmer, because he has root. At the scent of water. Not even the water. Scent of water. Just a vapor. Not at water. Scent of water. The root that is dry. But at the scent of water. Just his scent. He's not at water yet. Because scent of water bring forth. If you have seen dry time and water is about to come. You have that flare. That scent of that water alone made that root to sprout. When the soul have root in himself. When you have Christ, you have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because it takes the activity of the seventh spirit to the uproot in yourself. That's the essence of the seventh spirit. The essence of the seventh spirit is to have roots in yourself. When the seventh spirit begins to walk on a soul, and a man cooperate with the spirit of truth, is to put root on your soul. Job 10 and 11, please. No, but man died and wasted away. Yea, man gave up the ghost. And where is he? As the water fall from the sea, as the water fail from the sea, and the flood decay it and dry up. But that is not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be like a tree that has roots. That even when things, that's why no matter what comes against a man that has roots, adverse situation, everybody's getting married at 30, 28, 25. And you cannot get married at 45, 50. You don't throw in the towel. Your expectation is still there. It's not that you have given up. Who will see me like this? This is my flesh. You know, just at the sprout of water, at the scent of it, there's a sprouting when the soul has root. You know what I'm saying? That's why the labor that God wants to do amidst all this year, amid the married people single, God wants us to labor to have root in ourselves. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in faith, in hope and love that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we should invest into. While you're buying your makeup and you're trying to do your cleanser and all the foundation thing, which is very good, so that you can look young. I don't have a problem with those things. You know me, I don't have a problem with that. But what is more important? Have root. When you have roots, let root be your foundation of your soul. Just as you have some foundation for your skin. But let there be foundation for your soul. Have root in yourself. Just say, have root in myself. Say, I will take roots.
I will take roots.
Downward.
Downward.
In myself.
In myself.
I will subscribe.
I will subscribe.
To the learning.
To the learning.
Of the spirits.
Of the spirit.
The training.
The training.
Of doctrine.
Of doctrine.
That I can be.
That I can be.
Rooted.
Rooted.
Not be passed. But I'm stable, established,
I'm
walking
in my identity
until I arrive at my destiny, which is my destination in God. No, your destiny in God is your destiny. That's your destiny. Your destiny is in me. Your hand. You have an hand in God. I told you before, God, those are things God told me years ago. I know, I've actually said, God told me, he said, you can't be making plans. I've not married that time. I told my wife, God told me. I remember where I was. I was in the Kedja. He's in fellowship. In that Sunday, God told me, I cannot be telling you about the grief which I have for you. And I will not take care of your present needs. He says, it's not a wise father that will say, I have Bezalel and I keep an account and I'm putting money every month. Say, Bezalel, you're going to go to Harvard Business School. Oh, Yakamasa. Harvard Medical School, that's where you're going to. And I'm saving money every month. We are saving money. But I refuse to give him breakfast and lunch now and clothing. He will never grow up to fulfill that future destiny, future plan. So God told me, I can't be talking about a great future for you. You're going to become a son of God. You're going to become Christ. And I do not take care of you now. God, when that thing dawned on me, it cast out fear for me. Something landed. I knew it. I just knew it. That set to every fear I had in life. I knew when I can remember when that thing happened to me. It was in a cage out there. That I remember that Sunday. I can't be talking about a great plan that you're going to come into. And because now your business is going through something, I was going through a lot of issues that time. And I will not take care of this thing. And God has shown to me everything that I ever worried for. Everything that was a burden to my heart. He has taken 25 years, but I've seen all of them gradually visualize. Things that I felt that they will not happen, or things that I've said they will happen. How will I undo it? Some of them never happen. All my fears, some of them never happen. Some of the fear that I fear, they happen, and I never die. I'm still living here. But what set to it is that they put something that arrested every agitation in my soul. And these are the kind of people God wants to make us. But you don't stop on those things if you don't have deep communion, deep fellowship with the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, and trying for the Lord to develop through the help of the Spirit, to develop roots in yourself. May the Lord bless you. Time of waiting. It's a thing that we must know how to wait upon the Lord. But some of us, we don't know how to redeem waiting time. And we don't know how to transact with them. We complain, murmur, and get eaten up. Especially sisters. We don't know that the time of waiting is a time of developing, building roots. Because when you are waiting, there's a lot of things the Lord will be planting and putting on your inside, which are needful, which will be a time where we can really, really cooperate with God. Root does not jump on a man that will not cooperate with God. No soul that is hardened have root. When you are hardened, you are bent on having your way. Because even for a tree to develop root, the land must be soft. That's why they plow. That's the purpose of plowing. That's why they break all the fallow ground and plow it. So, that thing that mama's talking about, being malleable, those are culture. The Spirit will teach you. Culture of meekness. Sometimes, and everyone knows that some of us, we can't easily humble ourselves, so everyone has to put up in strict regiment so that they can be able to make the heart ready for what the Lord wants to give to the soul and plant in the heart. Please, don't waste your time of waiting. Don't be carrying off. That's not the time you should be checking the church. Where is the brother? Where are the brother? No. It's a time you should be focusing on the Lord and focusing yourself. It's yourself. You will hear in the Bible say, look to yourself. But I just want you to know this. Oftentimes we see singlehood, and I've taught you that singlehood is an estate. But also you must know that singlehood is beyond being an estate. When I say an estate, it's a state. It's not necessary you can be married and you are still single. In fact, that's what God wants you to be. Even when you are married, God wants you to still remain single in your heart. We have what they call singleness of heart. You'll find that in that Apostles chapter 2. And you must know that singlehood is not a curse. You must know that to be single is not a curse. In fact, singlehood is God's ordination. Adam was first of all single. Singlehood was not because man fell. It's an ordination. And God decided to create creatures to interpret what it means in the heart of God. Singlehood is in the heart, is in the core heart of God. That singlehood is not a curse. Singlehood is a blessing. And the more opportunity God gives to you to be single in the flesh, the more blessed you are. Don't ever think that those who are married are more blessed than you. In fact, Paul called it in Corinthians. He said, I wish everybody can be like me. Like Apostle Paul was single. We knew of Apostle Paul. Bible didn't record clearly to us about Timothy. But we don't know because when the time that Paul wrote to Timothy, Timothy was quite young in his epistle. He got told, let no man despise your youth. So Timothy was still a youth. So we don't know. Bible did not clearly tell us if we are sure that when Paul was writing to Timothy, Timothy was not married. But we know that Paul himself that wrote to Timothy was single. And the man that man wrote to third of epistle. And if you understand what epistle is a blessing. So singlehood is not a curse. Singlehood is a blessing. And singlehood or being single is not a disadvantage. Like what I said, as a pastor, as a father, as someone that loves you, I want everybody to marry. And that's a good desire. But you must know that because you are single, that does not mean that you are at a disadvantage. I want you to know that and enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it and use that singlehood to truly discover what singlehood means in the heart of God. Where many people have been waiting for marriage, who to marry, that God does not marry, but God understands what singlehood. So singlehood is an estate, but in New York, an estate, it is an ordination in God. When they say something is ordained, what does it mean? That means ordination means it is a preparation, a design. When you get what ordination, it's a design in God. When you see the Trinity, one of them, they are single. Singlehood means that every strength is directed to one vision. You know what I mean? Imagine all the strength of God. All the strength of God is directed, is major to one goal. That's why you will see in the book of Matthew, they will say that you should have singleness of eyes. And that if you have a divided heart, your eyes are not single. And because you have divided heart, you have variableness and darkness. Singleness means that there is no room. No, it's when there is a divided attention that you have a blind spot. Something about driving car is that you can have a blind spot when you are driving a car. Because there are two mirrors on the right and on the left. And so, to be able to argument for, because of the two mirrors on the left and the right, they put the head mirror. And with the head mirror is to harmonize, because if you drive a car with just the side mirror, you only have a blind spot. Though there's two of them. So when you see God, singleness and singlehood in God is an ordination. It's a design in God. And God, he made man, he made sure that he allowed Adam to be single for a while. We did not know how long Adam was single. The coming of Eve to the life of Adam did not make Adam complete. What make Adam complete is God, not another human being. This you must know. They wrote it in the book of Colossians and Ephesians. For we are complete in him. It's in him we are complete. Singleness means completeness. When you think of singlehood in God, it's completeness. It's that there's completeness on the inside. God is complete in the inside. There's nothing you can add to God to improve God. And that is why they created man. They wanted man to come into that. When God created Adam, Adam was not complete. And by bringing Eve to him does not make him complete. It is the God that will make Adam complete. And that is what we should strive for. We should strive for to be complete. Colossians 2:10. For ye are complete in him. Why? You serve God with joy. Why you submit yourself to the tutelage of the Word and the Spirit. While you are obeying God and you are doing the will of God, don't let anything lie to you that until you marry that you are not complete. What you are learning is able to make you complete. It's able to make you complete. You are learning Christ. You are learning the Son of God. You are learning God. That thing that you are learning is able to make it complete. There's nothing that can satisfy a soul. Paul even wrote in Corinthians, he said, I wish every virgin in the church of Corinthians are like him. He wrote to the fathers that have daughters that I wish that you not give your virgin away because of the present distress. If Paul could say there's a present distress in his day, how much more in our time? In his day of Paul, there was present distress. How much more in our time? I don't know what we should call our own. If there's distress that time, we should say our own is perplexity. If we say our own, because we are living in a world of perplexity. Man. But in the midst of that, don't think that because you're not married, you're not complete, you need woman. No, 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 no. What's going to complete you is Christ. And you're already hearing that. Why? Desires, expectations to marry will come from time to time as God, all things that since you're living in the body, things will come, maybe mercy or things will happen to you. I want you to know, don't sink in hopelessness. I don't want you to sink in hopelessness. Nobody that is having root downward, though even when it's dry, it's cut down. So at the scent of water, it will sprout. So telling you that you should never write out. Even if you are 60, you will still marry. I know some of you say, Pastor, I don't want to be 60. Yes, I'm not saying you're going to be 60. But, and I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just on my own. As you're on your own. All of us are on our own. But one thing I want you to know is that don't let because you must marry and somebody and you have a sense that somebody must complete you, you will let down your guard. Or you will compromise things that should not be compromised. Many people have compromised what should never be compromised in the thing that a man must complete me or a lady must complete me. Please know that singlehood is an ordination of God. That is beyond just a state. It's a state. But it's an ordination in God. And there is a vision of what singlehood is in the heart of God. And singlehood in the heart of God is that completeness. And that is what you're about to use your lifetime sojourn on earth to attend to. So under that, when I say singlehood is an ordination, I put some things down. I say because of it's an ordination, because it's a design that you must come into, it's because it's what? It's a thing you must aspire. Therefore, your time of singlehood in this side of life is a journey. And this is for both of those who are also married. You need to be single in heart. You need to be complete in heart. You are not yet complete yet, though you are married. Husband and wife, both of you are not complete. You are only complementing each other. You complement. You are not complete. That's why your wife covers something that you are lacking inside of you. And husband, even no woman can cover every lack in a man. That's why sometimes wife got frustrated. They further. Women want to change their husband. Husband want to change their wife. It is not in your heart to change anybody, and you can't change anybody. God has never given the arrow to anybody to change anybody. That's why that question that I'm waiting when my husband come, my habit will change. Your husband is not meant to change your habit, my sister. That is not his duty. He has not been called to do that. You want to give the work of God to a human being? He's not been called to do that. Mama has not been called to be the one to change me. Because I can be in the marriage and refuse to change. The person that does change is God. And there's a way a wife or a husband will be on the neck of his spouse that rather than doing good, you are going to end up forsaking the person. And oftentimes, when you want to change people, you want to change people to be like to what your vision that you have in your heart. Because you are not yet complete yet. So if a vision or the idea you want to change the person to is still a big vision. It's not the real person that have to change us is Christ that is complete by the Father. And that should be the desire of everybody. Knowing that single is not a curse, knowing that you are single does not mean you are missing anything. The only thing you are missing is that you don't have opposite gender lying on the same bed with you. But if you're a wonderful sister, you have your sister sleeping on the same bed with you. So iron can sharpen iron also. Like I can see two sisters there hugging each other there. So you are not missing. The only thing that there's no opposite gender on the same bed with you. But you have plenty of sisters that you can share pure relationship, deep, rich relationship. So don't let the world paint something that you are not complete. The one I say you are not complete, I didn't say complete. They are even off, completely off track. You are not under a curse. Somebody says, I've not married Jesus. Maybe I'm under a curse. You don't have any curse in your life. I'm the one telling you. That is not any curse. So long we are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you are hearing the word of God, the Bible says, a curse, causeless. You can't be a lover of God. You are serving God. You are hearing God's word, and you are obeying. Obedience breaks curses. Even if there's anything in your biological and electricity gene, I know that we can inherit it from our gene. But by the time you give a lot to Christ and you have baptism of the Holy Ghost and you are learning the word of God and faith is rising upon your heart and you are obeying God, nobody obey God and curses remain in his life. They can't remain. Why people go for deliverance to break curses? Because they have not obeyed God. It's like you put a bear. What's a curse? A curse is a limitation. What's a curse? A curse is a snare. When you use trap to catch a rabbit, that's how they like it curses to. They like it curses to a snare. They like it curses to traps. They like it curses to cage. When you gave your life to Christ, you were called from darkness to light. You used to be in a cage of darkness. You used to be in a cage of death. But they call you out of darkness. They call you at the quickening. We were dead in sin and trespass. That was former state. If there are anything hereditary from your family, anything hereditary from your this thing, because you responded to the call of new birth, you believe in your heart, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and beyond that, you became filled with the Holy Ghost in a churches that teaches the word. I'm not talking about doctrine now. I'm talking about word. Just word. Because there's a difference between word and doctrine. Epistle does not jump them together. They separated word and doctrine. Some churches, majority of our brethren churches are word-based churches. But they are not doctrine-based churches. He said, give up honor to elder who labor in word and doctrine. You may have word and you don't have doctrine. So because of that, because they have word and doctrine, you have given double honor. Because they have two things. They have word and doctrine. So in a word-based church, which we have them around us, but they may not be doctrine-based churches. Because you can't find doctrine. Doctrines are lines. Doctrines are things that are in God. Doctrines are ways of God. Doctrines are thought of God. Doctrine are standard in God. What made of God are doctrine. Because you see in book of Deuteronomy 32, my say, give ear, O ye heavens. Heaven hear doctrine. And hear, O earth. The word of my mouth, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as a shower upon the grass. Then what is rain? You need to see rain. Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, what is snow? Dew. And return no eater, but watered the earth, and make it breathe forth and bore, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Like Moses said, let hear you have the word of my mouth. My doctrine. This is doctrine that I was talking about. That Deuteronomy 32 is Isaiah 55. Give me Isaiah 55 back. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return back to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper. When a man has doctrine, he prospers. What is prosperity? Fruitfulness. You have a life that is fruitful. And you don't need to be married to have the best fruitfulness in your life. So I'm saying that sometimes things will come to your eye. Maybe why your life is so slow. Is this thing because you're under one family curse? No. Just having access to the word alone, not even to doctrine. That you are a doer of the word. That you obey the word. Sometimes when we are obeying the word, we might find us sometimes having some challenges. Or by divine timing of God, things have not moved. But don't let any thoughts weary you and tell you that why that thing is happening in your life is because There's something from the family. There's something about somebody. There's something. Or sometimes you have some proposal. It's like a sister. Maybe didn't put through. Sometimes maybe someone have asked someone that's interested in you but didn't put through. But I want you to know that God's intention is that you should remain single even when after you are married. Because single is an ordination. Single is an ordination in God. Is to be complete. What was it to be complete? You are complete, lacking nothing. That's the adjective to qualify it. That's James 1:4. You are complete. You are not laughing lack. So when you say someone is singled, singled means you have an ordination to be complete and you are not having any lack. Can you see that? That's a journey. There's an aspiration you can use your lifetime to pursue. You mean it? Even those who are married need to become this. They are married, but they still have lack on their inside. So to be single is to be complete and you are not lacking anything. You are lacking nothing. You are not lacking in the laws of God. You are not lacking in fruitfulness. You are not lacking in purpose of God. You are not lacking in the vision of God. You are not lacking in the nature of God. You are not lacking in the kind of mind, sound mind. You are not lacking in judgment. Everything that is in God, that made God to be single, you have it inside on your inside. But you who are not like that. So God make you, when you are in your single state, God wants you to aspire and hasten to that state. Even if you are married, God wants you to aspire to this thing. So that's a marriage. When you begin to see life like this, marriage will not be a destination. Your destination is to become single, like God himself is. Singlehood will become a destination for you. Which means to be complete and not lacking anything. So, and that will show that you see you are not like that. Then singlehood should mean a journey towards that for you. So single is a journey. You sort of journey towards something. Singlehood tells you that your singlehood is singularity. Singularity. That just as God is one, the Lord thy God is one. When you begin to see Ephesians chapter 4, you will see they say there's one faith, one hope, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit, one body, one God, and Father of all. But we know that there are three beings that are in Godhead, God Trinity. But they said the three are one. Why they say one? It's not because they are trying to confuse you. Just that like when you marry, they say, and both of them shall be one flesh. But the day you marry does not make you a one. It's possible for a man and woman to live together for 50 years and they never one. You can live 50 years. The man still wants to have his way in the marriage. And the woman still wants to. In that marriage, God is not seeing one people. God is seeing two different people living their life. Because nobody wants to lay down their life. It's not the woman that is right. It's not that the man is right. It's God. That is at the center of that union that is right. Both the man and the woman are supposed to take up God, who is one. Because it is taking on that third person in their midst or two that they, because of them, become one. So long as the man is insisting, the woman is one, and one thing, they will never be one. So you can see, the core in marriage is that we should be one. What I say is singularity. So singlehood is that we should attain singularity. Oneness with God. Our oneness is very, very important. But there are sinners make us not to be one. And we thought that, and sometimes we thought, because man has fallen, man has failed by the time I marry. Man, that marriage has now got to automatically make me one. A lot of people are like, no. There are many men that are married that they don't even have a clue to oneness. They are not even one, they are 100. Two people are living in the house, but 1,000 people are there. Because different nature are finding expression in that union. You see, when people that are becoming one marry, they like not to, the house will be quiet. Because it's quiet, the house will not have trouble. When people that are becoming one, people that are becoming single, as God has in his heart, the ordination of single in the heart of God, when they marry, it's not as sweet as that. They'll be too sweet. Every pastor wants to have such people as member of church. Every pastor wants to have such people in church. People that have one heart. One of the things that Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 11, he said, I will take you from among the nation. I will gather you from the heathen. Where you have sold yourself, where you have gone. He called it new heart in 36, but he called it one in Jeremiah 11. They shall come hither. They shall take away all these detestable things. So there are things that does not make us to be one, to be single. It's because of our detestable things. We have things in us. They shall take away. Say, take away.
Take away.
People marry, but they marry with their detestable things. So when I said that, two people, but they have 1,000 things inside because they came with their detestable things. They will take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abomination from hence, and I will give them one heart. So when we are talking about singleness, which has to do with oneness, that you may be one, even as we are one. The Lord our God is one. I say it's not just an estate, it's an ordination. And God wants us to come into that ordination by journeying towards it. And not being married is not a disadvantage of you to become that. When you become this, you'll be complete. Even we pastor will beg you to come and marry now. Because at that time, it's not that you don't like a woman. And it's not because you have disease in your body. And you don't have resurrection body. But just like something that has taken over your soul. Because you have journeyed. That's why Paul could be like this. And we don't know if Timothy was like that. Because the Bible never recorded, if you search the Bible, it never said that Timothy got married. Paul took this man and they walked with him and they inherited things inside Paul. And in their day, men still have power. Now we don't have strength anymore. Although that time, they said when we have that strength, Christ died for us. But now, I think we still have little strength. Or we don't even have strength anymore. But what I'm telling us is that God's intention for us is to fully make us to attain this estate of singlehood. So they want to give us one heart. They want to give us one mind. You start seeing that injunction in Philippians. When they are writing, be of one mind. What that means to me, you should be single in your mind. Imagine all of us have one mind. I mean, all of us, we have singular kind of mind. Singular kind of mind does not mean that we are all thinking the same kind of thing. Just that the way we should think, there's no abnormal thinker or abnormal mind that mind other things. We are all minding the same thing. So, please, I want to encourage you, give yourself to the Word of God and give yourself to the leading and the dealing of the Spirit. The leading and dealing of the Spirit, we call it subjection. When the Holy Ghost is leading and dealing with you, he's subjecting you. That's what they call subjection. When you allow the Holy Ghost to lead and to deal with you. To deal with him doesn't mean he's not beating you physically. That means he's able to move your heart the way he wants it and do it. There's a way that smells good to man. Holy Ghost, I don't want that thing. This is what I want. And you submit to it. And that is how we are going to be true singled or single. Men that are complete, that don't lack anything in their soul. The Lord will strengthen us and will help us. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.